Good morning. I'm a little bit nervous because I wasn't expecting so many people. Anyway, most local people will know who I am and what has happened to me, and the rest of you who don't know, my name is Val, and a few years ago I was diagnosed with a very rare form of leukemia. So I spent many months in hospital and spent a lot of time alone in hospital because all my family are so far away. It was a hard time for me, and there were many things in the Bible that I read which brought me comfort and helped me, and I could feel God with me. But Psalm 116 spoke especially to me. God was with me every morning when I woke up. He was with me every night when I went to sleep. He brought great comfort to me throughout that whole time, and I never felt that I was truly alone. I will read through the psalm, but when I get to verse 11, that bit doesn't actually apply to me at all, and when I read it, you'll see why. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And I can honestly say that he did hear my cry. He was merciful to me. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. And he did. It did feel at times like the cords of death were entangling me. I didn't know if I was going to come out of there. I didn't know if I was going to live or die. All I knew was that God was with me, holding my hand. And many times it was almost a physical presence. There were times, deep in the night, when I did feel distress and sorrow. And there were many times when I called on the Lord, Lord, save me. Because that was all I had left to do. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. He absolutely did. At the lowest point throughout those years, all those time in hospital, alone, I was brought low. I was absolutely as low as I could be, as anyone could be. My future was very uncertain, if there was one. But he saved me. Return your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And all I can say to that is amen. He really has been. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. All the times when I was in hospital, shut into the big air-conditioned building, I longed to be outside, to be at home, to be able to walk through the trees and to be able to hear the birds singing and the breeze in my face and all the things that we take for granted living here in Margaret River. And there were many times when I wondered if I would ever see that again. I did not want to die there in Perth Hospital. I wanted to be at home where I could feel outside, because I've always felt a deep connection with God outside, in his creation. That's always been so important to me. So the fact that I can walk in the land of the living, walk being the thing, it's just been amazing. I trusted in the Lord when he said, when I said, I am greatly afflicted. And I can remember saying that so many times. This bit's the bit that doesn't really apply to me in this situation, because in my alarm I said everyone is a liar. As far as I know, I didn't come across any liars throughout the whole time. So forgive me, Lord, that bit didn't actually speak to me. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. And I hope that that's what I'm doing. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. For that reason, I didn't actually fear dying. I feared missing people. and feared what my children would do without me. But I knew that if I died, it was not a bad thing. I could actually rejoice in that. I'd go to be with the Father in heaven. And I wasn't afraid of dying at all. A little bit nervous about how it was going to happen, admittedly, but I wasn't actually afraid of dying. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. And I can honestly say he has. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And I really, really do. I don't know how to thank him enough for the fact that I am here today. It's been an amazing journey. Thank you, Lord.
When Jeff turns on, have we got the mic going, Jeff?
I'll see if, yes, here we go. I'll pray for you using this one. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Val. We thank you for saving her from death in that time, Lord. We thank you for your presence, for your sustaining through that dark time. We thank you for her confidence in you, that she knew that you loved her no matter what because of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the way you spoke to her through this psalm, through that time. We thank you for the blessing Val is to us here in this church family. I thank you that through saving her from death, you've freed her to serve us in different ways, including the blessing she is as admin at the moment. We thank you for the blessing of the time with family. Thank you for the blessing of just being able to enjoy the outdoors now. And we thank you, Lord, that you do love us even when things are in the dark places, as Val and you was aware of in those dark places. We thank you that we can know and be with you forever through Jesus. And we pray, Lord, as we come to all look at this psalm together, that just as you spoke to Val so powerfully through it by your Spirit, that by your Spirit you will speak to each one of us by your psalm now, wherever we are at, wherever each of our circumstances are at. Please speak to us, Lord, as we come to your word now. Amen. Thank you, Val. If you've got your Bibles or a device with a Bible on, I encourage you to turn to that psalm. It's Psalm 116, which is on page 605 of the Church Bibles. I've actually chose the psalms to preach because somebody either requested it or mentioned that God had spoken to them through this psalm. And I've realised that the person who requested or spoke to me about this psalm was not Val. So there is at least one other person who God has spoken to really powerfully through this psalm in the congregation here. And I pray that he will speak to you today. So the psalm starts, "I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live." Do you know God's mercy? Do you remember God's mercy? The perfect, holy, unblemished God, all powerful, knows all about you. He knows all about me. He knows our imperfections, our sins, our hidden thoughts. And yet, our merciful God gave his Son for us. He forgives us. He welcomes us as his precious children, as we have been singing this morning. Now, when I remember God's mercy, when I remember that God turned his ear to me, then I want to keep calling out God. I want to love God more and more. That's what I want to do when I remember that. But so often, I don't do this. A lot of the time, if we were honest, if we wrote the psalm for ourselves, I'd write, I will call on the Lord as long as I live, I would say, I will call on the Lord on the occasions when I remember him. Because it could be so easy to take God's mercy to us for granted. It could be so easy to take God's goodness to us for granted. It could be so easy to live life as if God were not good and merciful to us. We can live as if God weren't loving at all. And that's one reason why I'm thankful to God that he's given us this psalm. See, the writer of this psalm, inspired by God, takes his intensely personal reflections on God's mercy and turns them into a psalm, into a song or a poem for all of God's people, to help all of us remember God's mercy. This psalm is part of a series of praise psalms, or Hallel Psalms, as in Hallelujah, which means praise God. And if you look at the last line of the psalm, it's praise the Lord, Hallelujah. These praise psalms are traditionally sung at religious festivals, gatherings of the people, especially at the Passover festival. So this is a psalm for praising God together, a psalm for God's people when we meet to celebrate his goodness. It's a positive psalm, but sometimes when we think of positive things, that means sort of let's pretend the negative doesn't exist. But this psalm is not like that. The Bible's not like that. Being a positive psalm doesn't mean the psalm pretends life circumstances are always good. There are no plastic smiles here. No pretending. As God's people meet and sing this psalm, they are real. They are honest. Listen to the honesty of the psalmist here in verse 3. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Can you picture the people of God gathering together to celebrate God's goodness, raising their voice and singing this together? So for pilgrims at Jewish festivals, you could picture the whole group of people coming together, and some of them, this would have been their present experience or their very recent experience, this pain and anguish. Whereas for others, though, they would be singing this more to identify with the people around them. As Matt said, we share life together. They're joining their voices with their brothers and sisters in voicing their struggle. Now, for some here today, these words of struggle will be your experience right now. For some here today, these words of pain will be your recent experience. Maybe you feel just overcome by trouble and sorrow. As Val said, God is with you, and we want to walk with you. We want to be a family that walk with one another through the hard times. And like Valis, the psalmist remembers his hour of dark desperation. He also remembers where he was able to turn when everything looked hopeless. So verse 4. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. Even as the anguish of the grave came upon him, he cried out to God. His circumstances had turned bad. His circumstances were horrible. But God had not turned bad. God had not become horrible. The psalmist chose to remember what God is like. Verse 5. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord, it's the personal name for God here, Yahweh. The Lord our God is gracious. He is good to us, far beyond what we deserve. The Lord our God is righteous. God does what is right, where people so often do the opposite. Our God is full of compassion. Do you get that? It's not just, he's got a little bit of compassion. Our God is full of compassion. And so remembering what God is like, the psalmist talks to himself. Verse 7. He says, "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." Tells himself, "Be at rest, O my soul." The psalmist doesn't think that because he's known the pain of God, the joy of God's salvation in the past, the power of God's salvation in the past, that will mean he'll automatically feel the peace of God now. Neither does he say, well, if I've known the joy of the power of God's salvation in the past and I don't feel the peace now, I must be some sort of a failure who can't come to God. No. He both cries out to God for help and he talks to himself. He tells himself, "Be at rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." When we feel the cords of death entangling us, when new crises rise up or dark shadows from our past traumas threaten to overwhelm us, it's important that we talk to people, act, belong, commit, the mental health people say, look to God. But whatever else we do, we want to make sure we do what the psalmist does here. He cries out to God. And he reminds himself what God is like. And he talks to himself. To remind himself that he can rest safely in God. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. God has saved this writer, the psalmist. God has saved me. God has saved Val. And Val rejoices in her delivery from physical death when she had leukemia. Yet as Val sort of mentioned going through, God does not always promise to deliver us from physical death. Verse 15 declares, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Firstly, the word saints here, that just means God's holy ones. God says, if you are in Christ, you are his holy ones. You are saints. Good to have you all, saints. God counts all of us as saints if we are in Christ. So God declares that the death of all his people, of each one of us, is always precious. The death of any one of his saints is never trivial. God always cares. Our lives are precious to God. But still, the time will come when we physically die. Unless Christ returns first, the mortality rate's going to be 100%. And some die in unjust circumstances. Some die in painful or isolated circumstances. But for everyone who is in Christ, we can declare with the psalmist in verse 8 there, "You, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." So going through that, God has delivered my soul from death. See, Christ has died in my place. I may deserve death, but Christ took that for me on the cross. And now I belong with God. Now so many of you, I pray you will belong with God. Come to Christ and we will walk with before God in the land of the living forever. We get a taste of that in this life. But we know beyond that, life with God, walking with Him forever as Christ rose. So all who are in Him will rise. And we know in that life with God, there will be no more tears or death or crying or pain. That is where we will know true life with God forever. It is awesome what's coming. But God has already begun that work now. When you trust in Christ as your King, Christ sends His Spirit into your life. If you have not yet accepted Christ into your life, I pray that you will call on Him. Call on Him and He will answer you. I pray that you will call on Him today. That you will know God's grace and righteousness and compassion. Around you today there are many diverse people who know God has heard their cry for mercy. That God has accepted them as His children in Christ. They still have to do the talking to themselves and they go through the doubts and stuff, but God is working within them to help them live as His children who belong with Him. Now, on the outside, these people who God is working within, they still look pretty ordinary a lot of the time. Sorry to tell you that, guys. In 2 Corinthians, Christians are described as clay pots, which were the ordinary storage vessels of that culture. These days, you could say that we are cardboard boxes. So we are cardboard boxes, but inside us is a great treasure, the Spirit of Christ Himself, Jesus. And so we read in 2 Corinthians, could we put that up please, Val, on, just so you don't have to skip from your Bibles. It's got to go up. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." We know God is changing us from the inside out. We are these jars of clay, these cardboard boxes with treasures inside. But God is working in us to make these ordinary cardboard boxes more like God's glorious Son, who's got His Spirit within us. We believe God has saved us and that He is working in us. And because we believe, we speak. A few verses on in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul quotes from verse 10 in this psalm. This is a quote from the psalm we're reading. "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to Himself." We are confident in Christ's resurrection. we believe we have true life in Christ. Therefore, we're not afraid to speak. We know our saving, merciful, and righteous God hears us. So therefore, we're prepared to speak even when everything looks terrible. We know God saves us in our weakness, when we are helpless. So we don't have to pretend we are strong. Because we know this about God, we can speak even when we're completely overwhelmed. We don't have to pretend to have it together. So returning to our psalm continues from verse 10. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And Val shared how she can identify with this verse. Now, others of you may be able to identify the next verse far more than Val was. In my dismay, I said, all men are liars. Now, for some, it may feel like all the people around us, all the people around you have betrayed you, have let you down. That hurts. But we can still speak. We can still cry out to God. We are secure in our great, loving, saving God, and so we dare to speak even in our most desperate hour. And as we cry out, as you cry out to God, remember, God understands. Remember what Christ went through on the cross. What he went through for us, for you, and for me. Remember Jesus' agony in the garden. His pain while his friends failed him, or betrayed him, abandoned him. This psalm, it's a Passover psalm. This is one of only a small choice of psalms that is likely Jesus and his friends may possibly have sung as a hymn after that last supper, when Jesus broke the bread and wine with his disciples and then went out to the garden looking towards his death, looking towards his agony and betrayal. You see, remember when God delivered our souls from death, that salvation was not cheap. It cost Jesus his life. So it is fitting that we ask with Val and with the psalmist. Verse 12. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? How can I repay him? How do we repay God for all his goodness to us? If we looked on it as a bank loan, we wouldn't be able to meet a fraction of the interest. He's given us so much. We cannot be good enough to pay back God for his goodness to us. So how should we repay the Lord for all he's done for us? The psalmist points us in some really helpful directions. Starts verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will celebrate God's saving work. I won't take it for granted. I will lift it up. I want people to see this wonderful thing God has seen. Oh, that's true. I want people to see how good God has been to me. Don't you? We want people to see the wonderful salvation God has given us, that he heard our cry. He's been merciful to us. He saved us, given us life with him forever. So let's lift up that salvation. Let's lift it up, first of all, in our own sight. Remind yourself just how much God has done for you. Let's build habits to remind ourselves that God speak to us of his grace. And lift up the cup of salvation amongst your family in Christ. Speak of what God has done for one another. Be honest about the hard times, like the psalmist here, but also about God's help in them. in and through those dark days. And let's remind one another of the sure salvation we have for eternity. Lift up the cup of salvation in your own sight. Lift it up in the sight of one another. And lift up the cup of salvation before others. God has been good for us. He's been good to us. And it's worth telling others how good God has been to us. Don't pretend you don't have struggles as you do this. Non-Christians can see through that. At least I hope they can. Be honest about your struggles. But also be honest about God's help in your struggles. Be honest about God's help in the past and about your security in God forever. Lift up the cup of salvation, it says. And I will lift up the cup of salvation. And I will call on the name of the Lord. God saved you to be in relationship with Him. He wants you to call to Him, to speak to Him. So call on Him. Cry out to Him. He is your loving Father. He wants you to speak to Him even in your darkest hour. Remember God. Call on Him in the highs and the lows of life. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. Keep the promises you make to God. If you accept Jesus as your Lord, live with Him as your Lord. Live His way. God has saved you to be a part of His people, so live as His people. God has adopted you as His children, as His child, so live as His children. The psalmist uses stronger language for this down in verse 16. O Lord, truly I am your servant. You could even translate it slave. Truly I am your servant. I am your servant, son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. The psalmist sees that God has freed him. Speaks of being cut free from the cords of death earlier in this psalm. Other sections of the Bible speak of freedom from the bondage to sin. Freedom from the rule of the spiritual forces of this world. Freedom from slavery to our desires. God has freed us from our chains. So what do we do if we are free? We need to go somewhere. We don't want to, again, be slaves to our selfish desires. We don't want to again be slaves to the traps of this world that so easily we fall into at our weaknesses. So we bind ourselves to God. Loving God is what we were designed to do, to love God and love others. The old creed says, in serving God there is perfect freedom. He loves you. Wants you to, when you serve Him, you find that more and more. So the psalmist declares, O Lord, I am truly your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. And then verses 17 and 18 repeat the themes of verses 13 and 14. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. You know, so I will sacrifice a thank offering to you. It's a different image, but it's the same idea of that lifting up the cup of salvation. I will publicly declare my thanks to God for His salvation, for His mercy. I will publicly declare my thanks for His goodness. And I will call on the name of the Lord. Call on Him. He loves you. I'll fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Do you notice that responding to God's mercy is not a private thing? Responding to God's mercy is personal, but it is also public. in Christ, God calls you to be part of his body, together with all the other members of his body. God calls you to live as his child in his family, together with his other children. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate God's mercy with brothers and sisters in Christ, who are also celebrating God's mercy in the different circumstances of their life. When I was talking with Val this week about her time in hospital with leukemia, and thank you for sharing, Val, you should have seen Val's face light up when she spoke of coming back to church. For 6 months after the bone marrow transplant, Val wasn't allowed to come to church or anywhere with a decent number of people because of the risk of infection. 6 months on doctor's orders. Now, Val was so thankful for the prayers, the support, the meals from the church family, especially the prayers. And then when Val was able to come back, she actually wrote down some of the words she used as she told me about this. Val said, "It was a huge blessing. Such a relief. It was like coming home." The gathering of God's people is a foretaste of our true home. A home with God, our Heavenly Father. And sometimes church is a very poor imitation of our true home. Church is a hospital for sinners and a school for saints. And sometimes we see we need a lot of healing and a lot of schooling. There's a lot of instructions about loving and forgiving one another in the Bible. But it still points towards our true home, where we will be made perfect and death will be banished and God will wipe every tear from our eyes. And we will celebrate the mercy of God with people from every tongue and tribe and nation together around Jesus. That is our true home, where we belong in Christ. See, in Christ, our merciful God has given us everything. So, as Val finished with, as it says at the end of the psalm, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.